Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Corin Cates Carney, filling in for Sally Mock this week. I'm joined by University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine and former Capital News reporter Chuck Johnson. On Sunday, gubernatorial candidates Republican Greg Gianforte and Democrat Steve Bullock met in their final debate before Election Day. Chuck, what was your take on the debate, and did you see anything that could swing an undecided voter?
I'm not sure there was much to swing an undecided voter, Corin, but I thought each candidate did a good job of kind of outlining his main themes and attacking the other candidate. We saw Governor Bullock attacking Gianforte over the stream access issue, calling him a rich out-of-stater who wants tax breaks for people like him. We had Greg Gianforte attacking Governor Bullock as using the line career politician who had not done enough to stop layoffs in Columbia Falls and Colstrip and other cities, and was critical of some of the things that have come out in the campaign, like the awarding of the tourism contract for the state, multi-million-dollar contract to a Wisconsin firm, and his allegations that Bullock has misused the state airplane. So I thought they both stated it well, and it was the final debate, and I thought it was a good one for voters to see the contrast.
Rob, what was your take?
Yeah, I agree with Chuck. And certainly in terms of the undecided voter, I doubt that that was even really what the candidates were primarily aiming at here. Mercifully, I think we're in the home stretch of this election cycle. And in fact, while Election Day is still a few weeks away, mail-in voting has already begun in Montana. So at this stage, the candidates have basically made their pitch to the voters. We aren't hearing much that's new. What little is new just isn't that compelling. And I think this reflects, at this point, the candidates are more in the mode of trying to solidify support among those people who quote-unquote should vote for them. That is, people who, all things being equal, are already inclined to back one party or the other, or who are particularly invested in one of the issues that have been featured in this campaign. And then the campaigns want to make sure that those folks who should be in their corner have a reason to turn out to vote specifically in the governor's election. You know, in a normal cycle, you don't have to worry about that quite as much because people will turn out for the presidential election. But this year is so unusual, and we really do, I think, need to keep reminding ourselves of that, given the chaos of the presidential election, the historic unpopularity of those candidates. So when it comes to the governor's race, if I were on either of these campaigns, I'd be concerned about turnout and who's actually going to show up to vote. It's entirely possible, I think, that the makeup of the electorate this year looks a little different than usual. And in a close race, that could make a big difference. So just for instance, does disgust with Trump keep a significant number of Republicans away? Or does Clinton's unpopularity keep young people away or Bernie Sanders supporters away? You know, what happens if it looks like she's going to win in a landslide? So all of this is to say, mobilizing your people, especially if they're turned off from the presidential campaign for one reason or another, is probably more important right now than beating the bushes for an undecided voter.
This week, both Bullock and Gianforte released ads expressing support for Colstrip. Two of the four coal-fired units at the plant will shut down in the coming years. It's left some uncertainty in Montana's energy future and the jobs and homes it helps sustain in the community. Gianforte has often used the situation in Colstrip to attack Bullock and has run ads to that effect. Let's listen now to Bullock's first attempt at an ad rebuttal to those attacks.
I've worked at Colstrip for 30 years. A lot of politicians treat coal like it's a political game. But not Steve Bullock. As governor, he listened to us and stood up to President Obama to defend our coal jobs. He's working on solutions for the long term, investing in new technology and new energy like solar and wind. So don't be fooled by false attacks. Steve Bullock stands for Montana energy and our jobs.
So this ad uses a Colstrip worker to defend Bullock's record. Chuck, did you think this was an effective ad?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty effective ad. This issue's been out there for a while, and of course, Greg Gianforte has attacked Bullock for not doing enough to protect the Colstrip jobs, and here's a Colstrip worker kind of countering that. And as we've talked about primarily Rob in the past, it's an issue that is, in most ways, I think, is outside the realm of Bullock's control, Governor Bullock's control. It's a national issue with climate change and the like. It's certainly one that Gianforte has capitalized on, and this is an attempt to counter that.
Greg Gianforte's ad this week was his second specifically on the issue of Colstrip. Let's listen to that.
I believe every Montana job is precious. The engineer in Laurel, the mill worker in Columbia Falls, and the miner here in Colstrip. With one exception, the governor who didn't stand up for him. The people who sued to shut down this plant are funding Steve Bullock's campaign. And that's the difference between him and me. Because when it comes time to choose between out-of-state special interests and one single Montana job, just know that Greg Gianforte has your back.
In this ad, we have Gianforte standing with Colstrip in the background, and he's attacking Bullock's record supporting Colstrip, but also alluding to Bullock's lack of support in other industries as well. Rob, what were your thoughts?
Well, I think this ad works actually quite a bit better than the Bullock ad, just because it's a more simple message. Gianforte's stance is very easy to understand here. It's basically, I'll go to the mat for Colstrip, and Bullock won't. The governor's position is more complicated. He wants to claim that he's standing up for Colstrip, but that he also wants to invest in new energy sources. And you know, in the Bullock ad, it occurred to me, well, how exactly is investing in solar and wind going to help that guy in Colstrip who's narrating the ad? So I think Gianforte has the upper hand here when it comes to the politics of Colstrip as a campaign issue. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that he's right on the policy. There's absolutely an argument to be made that, look, the future, whether we like it or not, doesn't look good for Colstrip. The big advantage that coal has traditionally had is that it's plentiful and it's cheap, but it's not as much of a relative bargain that it once was. And on top of that, of course, the political climate has changed. People have always been concerned about the pollution with coal, and that concern has only grown over time. And it's, of course, connected with climate change, concern over which has been growing. So this argument would go, look, these forces are not good for Colstrip and clearly suggest that we need to be much more aggressive in pursuing new technologies and new energy sources. But that argument isn't one that Bullock wants to make. So he's left trying to stand on both sides of the issue. And maybe there is some kind of sensible middle ground on this issue. But at the very least, it's complicated and it's difficult to articulate in a 30-second ad.
Last week, a video was released of Donald Trump speaking disparagingly of women. Several prominent Republicans have come out saying they cannot support Trump after his remarks, although that doesn't mean they will support Clinton. Montana's Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke has been an enthusiastic supporter of Trump, had this to say shortly after the video was released.
No woman should be viewed in that manner. So, you know, I think most America, like me, is just shocked. It's... For a presidential candidate, you know, I pray that he has learned from this. I pray that he has grown since 2005. But it's a reflection of how this election really is. Between, you know, very few people are real comfortable about Mrs. Clinton. The deep level, in my opinion, of corruption, the lies. And then Mr. Trump continues to say such outlandish and outrageous statements.
Rob, when you look at what's playing out on the national level, do you see it having any impact on the local races in Montana?
Well, sure, it definitely could. It has, I think, clearly put Republican candidates like Zinke in a tough position. Obviously, they need Trump supporters to win, so they risk a backlash if they denounce Trump. And yet Trump routinely says indefensible things. It's particularly problematic, though, for someone like Zinke, who, as you say, has been an enthusiastic supporter of Trump's. He's all in. He gleefully introduced Trump back when he visited Billings ahead of the primary. He floated his own name as a potential running mate for Trump. He's been on cable news as a surrogate for Trump and so on. And, you know, we talked about this last spring. The obvious problem here is that Trump behaves erratically and unpredictably. And so every time there's a new atrocity from the Trump campaign, his core supporters like Zinke have to field questions. You know, do you agree with Trump still? Do you still support this guy? So this latest episode with the tape strikes me as totally unsurprising. It's consistent with everything we know about Trump, and it's also unsurprising that it's put Zinke in this awkward position. It's certainly something he should have foreseen. It also, I think, raises another issue about this relationship between Zinke and Trump, and that is the way in which Zinke has strangely attached himself to someone who seems to call into question his own greatest strengths. You know, Zinke has built his political career around his service in the military and pointed to that experience as a foundation for his expertise in foreign affairs and national security. And that, by the way, all seems entirely reasonable. But then he goes and supports Trump. And this is curious because if you look at Trump's policy positions, such as they are, it's his foreign policy stances that stand out as perhaps the most uninformed, erratic, and poorly thought out. And it's really amazing, in fact, how unified the foreign policy and national security experts are in opposition to Trump. And this includes, of course, figures from Republican administrations, conservative think tanks, and so on. And that's before you even get to some of the things Trump said about POWs, Gold Star families. So you look at all this, and it just seems quite odd that someone with Zinke's outstanding credentials, who's been at the center of our national security establishment, and who seems to want to be taken seriously as a policy expert on these matters. There's something of a disconnect here. And to go back to the tape, he says, well, you know, I don't agree with Trump on everything he says, or Hillary's even worse. It's not clear to me that these things quite cut it, and that this does risk undermining his greatest strength.
And of course, in response to this, Zinke's opponent, Denise Juneau, and the state Democratic Party are issuing press releases calling on Zinke almost daily to make more of a separation from Trump, given Trump's actions and comments. And Zinke, so far, has just released a statement, which doesn't necessarily stop them from criticizing the connection. So he's almost caught in a pretty tough position, I think, by his own doing.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, filling in for Sally Mock. She'll be back next week. We've been speaking with University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine and longtime Capital News reporter Chuck Johnson. Thanks for taking the time.